Hello, and welcome back to Cracked with Siobhan Aris. Support for this episode comes from Canfield Technologies, whose quality solders have set the standard for over 160 years. Find out more at canfieldmetals.com. I'd also like to thank Sasha's International, home of Clean All Soap. Clean All Soap was originally formulated to remove lead residue from workers' skin in battery plants, but now available in consumer-friendly sizes, it is an effective way for stained glass artists who work with heavy metals to stay safe. It produces a fast-acting chemical process that rinses away toxic metal residue while leaving the skin clean, soft, and silky smooth. Visit buycleanall.com today to purchase a Clean All heavy metal soap. Obtain SDS sheets and find additional information to help keep you safe from heavy metal exposure. Today's very sweet and very lovely guest is Nick Sanders of Hepzibah Button. Her botanical Scandinavian-inspired leaded glass also incorporates very detailed glass painting. Like many of us, stained glass is something she came to after having children in a whole other long career. Before she was a full-time glass artist, for over 15 years, she was a primary school teacher. Nick has been doing glass for over 10 years now with no signs of slowing down anytime soon. Nick's work is personally one of my favorites, and I'm so glad I got to meet the sweet woman behind the glass. Join me as I crack it all wide open.
Hello.
Hi, we made it.
Yay. Thank you for inviting me. It's just, I was very nervous at the thought of actually being interviewed by doing stained glass. But yeah, so thank you.
Yeah, actually, when I was like trying to find information about you online, you don't have a website. Am I right?
No, honestly, I am terrible. I don't do Facebook, anything at all. So yeah, and Instagram, I joined a few years ago, and it was sort of because I thought I have to do something. Mm-hmm. I can't just hide. So, and then I thought, oh, on Instagram, you don't have to be you anyway. You can. So I Hepzibah Button came along, and it was my hairdresser. And I was having a chat with him, and he said, Instagram is really good. You've got like a little page where you've got all of your images and you can just have them on there. So I thought, oh, okay, I'll have a go. So I've got two sons, one's 20 and one's 19. So I'm so rubbish. So they had to show me what I did. But yeah, even now, I still get nervous putting things out there. I think I've just got used to, I don't know, my own little world, and I like to create and I make things, and then it's not easy letting other people into that, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
So, and you're very popular on Instagram. Like you have a lot of followers and engagement and likes and comments.
I didn't even realize that could happen. I remember when I first joined, and like the kids, they've got thousands of followers for just being at school. And I thought, how does that happen? And then I'd been on there a little while, and a friend messaged me and she said, Nick, do you know that you've got 19 followers on Instagram? And I was like, wow, 19 people. So yeah, as time's progressed, I just thought, oh, I don't quite know what that's about. But yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, you're joining us from Derby, which is in England, in the UK. Derby. Do you say Derby or Derby?
Yes. Yeah, even though it's an E, it's Derby. Yeah.
It's Derby. Okay. I was reading as why we say Derby instead of Derby, and I came across something that said the pronunciation came about because of the famous British inland pirate. When asked what he's looking for inland, he says Derby treasure. Is that real? Have you heard that before?
No. I'd heard something about Vikings and deer, but I didn't. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. We've been here about 10 years now. So a bit like you, we've moved around a lot with hubby's job. So mm-hmm. we've lived quite a few places.
What does your husband do?
He's in IT.
Okay.
Yeah, which is hilarious because I'm so not I don't know whether I've got lazy because he's very technical, so I don't bother. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty normal, I think. I do the same thing where I just like assume that he'll just take care of certain things because he can. It seems easier for him. And you guys recently had a heat wave, like a really crazy.
It's been really, really hot. So, and then trying to carry on working, it's just been like the soldering irons on or the kilns on. So I've had to, a big fan about 2 centimeters away from my face.
Yeah.
And then at a certain time, once the kiln goes on, I've got to get out of there. So I've carried on going, but yeah, it has been very hot. And us Brits, honestly, we're terrible with weather. We moan when it's raining. We moan when it's too hot. So
it was all anybody talked about, I'm sure, for a while, yes, right?
Definitely, definitely.
We're good now. Did it cool down?
Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, I'm in the living room now, and I think we might have some thunder. So it's gone really dark, and the rain started, and there's a few rumbles. So yeah.
Good. So your work is, it's very, correct me if you're like, no, not at all. But when I see it, I think very Scandinavian, mid-century modern, like flower folk art. Is that how you would describe it as well? Yeah, very colorful.
Scandi style is what I like. So, and it was a little while ago, Lauren from, I don't know how you say it. Sklo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she said it reminded her of Polish folk art, because I think her family, some of them are Polish. So I went and had a look because I didn't know about it at all. So and I thought, it's lovely. So yeah, that's Scandi and then the Polish folk art. Yeah, I really do like those kind of things. I think simple is what I like. So, and I think that's where I work from, is simple shapes, and that's where I start. So I always know that it will be a flower or a seed head or something like that. So until my ideas run out, that's what I'll always go for. So that's where I start, and then it is simple shapes. I mean I've had a few people say your work simple in a nice way and some in a not so nice way, but simple. I start with simple shapes and then I sort of move them around, and so I can see sort of other patterns and pictures happening, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do flower, simple, and mm-hmm. then shape. So I mean, I love gardening and things like that, so you know, real flowers, and I just think are beautiful, but yeah, I don't want to represent them literally, if that makes sense. Just
yeah, they are more like an illustrative version of it. And we had two people when I posted on Instagram that I was going to talk to you today, Jane Littlefield Glass and also Jay Breamy, asked, where do you get your inspiration from for your gorgeous designs, and is it from your garden?
I think lots of different things, really. I was having a little think about that because I know you'll ask about artists and things, but I like interior design. So like houses that we've moved to and from, I've always decorated, done DIY. I like sewing. So I like fabrics and bringing colours together and a room. And I think sort of ideas of then how do you dress a window too, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So then I know patterns that I like and colors that I like, and again with fabric I like simple but bold patterns. So when things come together or I get a nice bit of fabric or I'm working in the garden, everything sort of comes together, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And how did you come up with the name Hepzibah Button? It's such a fun word. What does it mean? Where did you come up with it?
I wondered whether you'd ask that. Well, start with the button. It was with friends and probably a few too many gins. Say that. So we had to have a name each, and your surname, well, the second part of the name had to be something that you really loved. So Glass was a bit too obvious, but as a little girl, I had a lovely auntie. She was so lovely. And I used to escape to her house at the weekends. And she had a big tin of buttons. And I have just got so many lovely memories of playing with this tin of buttons and doing all sorts of things with it. And she passed away when I was in my 20s. And somebody else got the buttons. And I was so sad. But every year, hubby buys me buttons. So like, we've been together forever now. So I've got my own collection and lots of buttons. So yeah, absolutely love them. Friends buy me buttons. And well, it was funny when we moved to Derby and I was new at the school because our boys started at primary school. They were 9 and 10 when we moved here. And it had got round that I liked buttons, but someone thought my name was Button. So they were saying, no, it's not. It's Nick Sanders. And someone else, no, it's not. It's Nick Button. So that made me laugh. So that was the button bit. And the Hepzibah bit, well, it was a bit of a joke, really. All of us had to think of something really unusual. So Hermione was a bit Harry Potter, but Hepzibah, I'd always known the name anyway. I think it means something like my delight is in her or something. But it's a really, really sweet, I think it's a biblical name, I think so. But yeah, so it means my delight is in her. So we thought, okay, yeah, that'll go. Hepzibah button works. So but it was a joke, and then all of a sudden it just caught on and it became normal. So I had a few friends that thought it was hilarious that I'd gone on Instagram and call myself this. I've got a friend as well, and she's on Instagram, and she's called Bathsheba Cardigan. She loves cardigans, and then the silly name to go with it was Bathsheba. So yes, it's nothing, but yeah, it was funny, but it seems to have stuck. I quite like it.
I quite like it too. It's really nice. So I don't know if you know this, but when I was looking for information about you online, this is, you know, side note, but there's a Nick Sanders who's a pianist who wrote a song called Stained Glass Memories. Did you know about this?
Someone messaged me and said, are you a musician? And I was like, no. I said, my eldest son plays guitar. I said, but I haven't got a musical bone in my body. So I looked it up and no, that's not me.
I listened to it and I was like, wow, there's so much more going on here than I expected.
No. Unfortunately not. It would have been nice to have been musical. I would have liked that, but no. And I can't sing. Oh goodness me. You'd have cats howling outside if I was to sing.
That is so funny. Okay, so you don't have a website, but you do sell your work. I've seen that you wait. You stop. You're going to stop me. Do you have a website?
No. But okay. It is things that I need to get on with. I think with me, I like making and I like being on my own and coming up with things. But the business side of things or the social media side of things, I struggle. That's the truth. And I feel like I should be more out there and doing more things. And I have set myself little goals that I do need to get on with because people ask me. And that's the thing that has been good with Instagram, because at least I can show what I do. But I need, because the other thing I need to do is I've had lots of requests about posting work. So I listened to you the other day, I think, was it with Ted? And you said about shipping things, and you knew you could do that. You could ship things. And for me, I'm getting to that point where I think, yes, right, I can't just sell locally. I do have to be brave. And I think in my mind, it worries me because I think, oh, if you sent something that you spent ages on and then it turns up broken, I just think, oh, so it's me, I think, having courage to just get on with stuff. And if mistakes happen or things go wrong, you deal with them. You don't shy away because you don't want the hassle, if that makes sense. I think that's my next thing. I've got to be braver with like doing this. I was just like, no, I can't do this. I can't chat to someone about it. It's just, oh. So yeah, I think it is self-image things and thinking that you can do things and be confident in that, which is not always easy for me. And I think coming from being a teacher, you sort of, I was trained to do that, not for ages, but you sort of have that journey. Whereas with stained glass, I've sort of taught myself. And so there's an insecurity there, if that makes sense. And as I get more experience, I think I'm getting better, which means then I'll push myself forward to do more things. But yeah, one of my posts I put, you know, just being self-taught and knowing that you should do other things. And it's just, I think, having the confidence. So I think that's the other thing with Instagram as well. People are really encouraging. I think I was a bit scared of social media because, you know, people can be mean. So, but my experience has been mostly that, you know, people are really lovely and supportive and encouraging. And then you think, oh, okay, it's all right, I can do this. And then a little bit more confidence comes. So, but yeah, and it's like I turned 50 this year, and you just think, oh, come on now, you know, you've got to sort yourself out. So I think confidence and getting on with putting myself out there a bit more, and taking the risks of, you know, shipping things to places like America. Goodness me, someone from America wants to buy a piece of my glass.
I want to buy one of your pieces. I want one. And, you know, it, again, and I said this in Ted's episode too, is that like that bridge has been built. Like it's already there. It's already there.
That was really encouraging. I just thought, yeah, it is. It's there. You've just got to get on with it now. And, you know, so yeah.
Okay. Well, after this interview, I'm also super happy to talk to you about that more, any way that I can help, because that piece was really big and that was like a crate and that was a whole other thing. But I mean, most of my pieces are, I think, in the similar size as yours, and I've shipped a ton of those. So I'd be happy to, off the record, sit down and chat with you if that's helpful, if you want that. Yeah, if not, there's, you know.
I did post one to, I think she's in Wales, and she really wanted it. And I said, okay, I'll just wrap the hell out of it, and if it turns up broken, keep it. But yeah, so it was fine. It got there. So I just thought, oh, okay, that's one. We'll, you know, but yeah. So I think shipping to America, because I've had quite a lot of requests from your sort of way. I just thought, oh, okay.
We'll have to get on. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you learned how to do stained glass? I read that you learned from a book.
I did. I was teaching at the time, and we lived in Warwick then. So that was before we came to Derby. And I was teaching, and I was teaching full time. And I've got two boys, and they were in primary school, so they were quite little. And I was just, it's too much. So I wanted to do the best for my kids at school, and I wanted to do the best for my kids at home. And it was just, So I was working full time in a primary school, and I said, I can't carry on doing full time. So when I left there, one of the girls that I worked alongside of, she bought me a stained glass book. I think it's called A Complete Guide to Stained Glass or something like that. So I took that and I had a good read of it. And then I was still doing supply teaching, so I saved up a bit of money, and I thought, oh, I'll get myself on a course to learn. So when we lived in Warwick, Leamington Spa is the town that's next to that, and they had a course going there. So I kept ringing and kept ringing. Nothing. No one picked up. So I had a little pot of money, and I just thought, oh, I'll buy a starter kit. So that's what I did. I bought a starter kit, read through the book, and then just did it. But I still got the first ever piece that I made. Oh, it's hilarious. Because, I mean, you can read in a book, but when you have practical experience, like solder, I didn't know. I knew that it melted, but I didn't know that it like ran off the sides. And what do you do then? So I've got little piece that I've made with like blobs sticking out the frame, and I've kept it. So yeah, and then it's just it's been practice then, because the steps are logical, aren't they, for all of the things that you do, but it's the practice of, because you know, at first I wanted to make shapes that I just couldn't, you know, my hand wouldn't. So taught myself through there, and then when I wanted to paint on glass, I did a little online thing then. So that was about 2 years ago. So I think, I can't remember what they were called now, William and Byrne, I think. So I did their stained glass course. So it was just videos that you could follow for that. And then they had a glass painting book, which I bought on Kindle. So yeah, so I just kind of went through those. The thing is, I prefer being on my own. So the thought of a class or anything like that made me a bit nervous. So I think I was better just plowing through things and then experimenting and then getting onto the next thing and doing it that way. So yeah, I've done all those little things.
Well, making stained glass is a much lonelier and quieter job in comparison to a classroom full of kids. Which environment do you think works better for you?
It's really strange, you know. I think as I've got older, life has just changed. And I think for women in particularly, I think when you have your children and you have a break from things, you lose your confidence as well. And it's really hard to, you know, get in there. And I think if we hadn't have moved to Derby, I probably would still be teaching. But sort of moving to a new town, I just thought, I can't start this again. I didn't have the confidence to get back in front of children, really. And I think when we moved here, my boys were 9 and 10. And I just thought, oh, it's a time to move them. And I wanted to have time for them. And I just thought, if I go back to teaching now, I'll be stressed, they'll be stressed, and I've got to fit into a new place to live, and I couldn't. So, but then as time got on, I thought, I can't do it, I just can't go back. I did love it. I mean, I've got some wonderful memories, because I used to do 4 to 11 years old. I have done preschool as well, so I've done really tiny ones. And I love them. I mean, the stories, oh, goodness me, I've heard some stories. So, yeah, in the time that I was in it, I loved it. And it was my identity for a long time. Sort of thinking through doing the stained glass, teaching was my identity. And even though it was my choice not to go back, there was a real wrestle with, well, who are you now then that you don't identify yourself as this person anymore? Because I think I was good at teaching. I always came out of inspections really well, loved the kids and loved being creative in that environment with them. But yeah, it's life, isn't it? You know, things come along your way and you just get on with what's in front of you, I think. So, and then as I sort of stayed home more for the kids and did more glass, the less, because I've probably been out of teaching now for probably 10 years, because we've lived in Derby 10 years. So I gave up just before we moved here. So yeah, I miss little ones because they are very cute and very funny. But to be responsible for a class of 30 now, I'm too old.
No, you're not too old. Stop saying that. You're not even that old.
Absolutely exhausted. So, yeah.
It is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. And it doesn't end when the bell rings, right? You have so much to do outside of that.
Yeah, I think that's the other issue as well, really. It's just the children were lovely. I loved being creative, but the expectations of you, the paperwork, the politics, you know, not being able to do it your way, really. You know, I was teaching for about 15 years, but then you've always got someone telling you the way you should do it. And it just got more and more difficult to do it, really. So, Yeah. I miss the kids and I miss being creative, but paperwork and politics. I worked at one school in Leamington, and there was a teacher there that used to come in and do pottery every week. And so Sally was lovely. And she used to be a full-time primary school teacher. But she said, Nick, she said, I would rather spend 2 hours rolling out clay than 2 hours of paperwork that A, no one ever sees, mm-hmm. and B, worth it really, because you know what's going on. And I think it was that I just thought, yeah. I'd rather spend 2 hours cutting glass than ticking a load of boxes on a sheet that no one ever sees. So, yeah, a shame, because I have lots of lovely memories. But, yeah.
Yeah. That time is done. Yeah.
The older I get, I think the more introverted I get as well. So I think with lockdown, you just get used to your own company more. And you sort of saw people less, and it was okay. And hubby works from home as well. And, you know, we're best friends. So we've sort of, you know, had this little unit really where we've just got on with things. And yeah, it needs to change a little bit, because I know both of us could just go into our hidey holes and then that would be it. But it's not always good for you, really. So yeah, we'll see as things move forward.
Right. I really identify a lot with what you just said about, you know, just the shift in identity and how you see yourself and how you like going through a career shift like that and not knowing exactly like what side of the fence you're on or what you should tell people. I mean, at least for me, I was a hairdresser for a very, very long time. And then just in the last couple of years, I switched over to just doing the glass and the podcast. And now we moved to Austin, right? So I'm meeting new people and I find myself having these like awkward conversations where I'm not sure what to tell them, what I did, what I do, how I do it, how I used to do it. Like I'm like bumbling, like, well, I used to be a hairdresser and makeup artist, but now I'm doing this now. I'm not doing hair anymore, but it feels weird not saying that because it is part of like how I see myself.
Yeah, it was exactly the same. And the thing is as well, it's like people can be quite rude. I remember when we moved here and I was home, you know, I'd set up we had a little box room free. So we'd set up in there and I was getting to know new people as well. And I had a few people say to me, well, what do you actually do? It's just like, and then I'd bumble, oh, well, I used to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's none of your business, really. And if mm-hmm. I'm just at home, then I'm just at home. It doesn't matter, does it? So, yeah, it's tough, isn't it? I don't know.
It really is.
Are you getting on okay in your new place?
Yeah, we are. Yes, it's quite a move. But honestly, we were only in Massachusetts for a year and a half. So I feel like we've been kind of shaken up. This actually feels like kind of more of a quiet move because we did like the big move. We did two really big moves before this. And so things were still in bins and still organized from the previous move. Like we hadn't fully like moved into the house. You know, it wasn't lived in for very long. So this move wasn't as hard.
Still getting on. I was listening to yours and Ted's talk. So, and it's always the children, isn't it? You just think, oh, moving and how's it going to be? And it does change things for you, doesn't it? So,
yeah. Yeah, it's going well for her, I will say. We've definitely had in the pandemic, I mean, some kids, you know, glided right through that and didn't have, you know, a lot of hiccups with it. And then some kids are starting to show a lot of anxiety now, like as like an after, you know, now that the dust has settled, all this is coming out. And I don't know. We have her, you know, she does go to therapy. I'm always like, I don't never know what to say on the podcast either. Cause I always have to be mindful that like, she's going to hear this someday and be like, Mom, why did you say all that about me? But she's like so many kids in her age group. She's dealing with the same thing that so many kids in her age all around the world are like working through. And she's got like a lot of separation anxiety and just anxiety in general. And the first week was kind of hard for her at her new school. She wasn't really making friends as quickly as it's happened for her before. And she wasn't really clicking with some of the girls in her class. And so I was like,
Hard.
Yeah. It was really, really hard. But we're like, you know, I think we're 3 weeks in now and she's doing much better. She's made one friend that she really likes a lot. And
that's all you need, isn't it? Is just one friend. You need one friend.
Oh, she's really, she's really silly. Like she's a really silly, funny kid. She's got a great sense of humor. And she was like, Mom, none of the kids in my class are silly. I was like, oh, that's tough. That is tough.
That is tough. You're supposed to be silly at that age, aren't
you? Yeah, exactly.
It's the natural order. Yeah.
And it's true. When she tells me stories about the kids, I'm like, these are some serious kids. I'm like, maybe that's the way that they're navigating, you know, their anxiety is that everybody's just really serious all the time. So, no. Overall, I'd give it an A. I think it's good. We're definitely on like a good trajectory with her and building a routine. And she just got a new bike and we're going to be trying to, I got a new bike too. And I want to ride bikes to school in the morning, which I think is going to be really good.
That's really nice. That's really nice.
Yeah. She, they say that kids, this is for all the parents out there. They say for the kids who ride their bikes to school that they actually do a little better because not only do they get their wiggles out in the morning, like they, you know, spend a little bit of that energy. So they're better at sitting still and focusing, but also they get like the blood pumping and the oxygen, you know, into the brain. And so they're a little bit more ready to learn, I guess. I don't know. So,
yeah. Well, I did have one difficult class. And I don't mean to sound sexist or anything, but it was quite boy heavy.
Oh, yeah.
And they were all, you know, And so I had to change the timetable and I did PE first thing in the morning.
Smart.
And got everybody do what they needed to do. And then the rest of the day was was better.
It helped.
Yeah, I think it does.
Boys are different. I hate to say, like, you know, that gender thing, like, but they are, the energy is very different.
Well, I think having two of my own and then hubby, so there is just me and three men now, and it's just, oh, they tick very differently. Goodness me.
Yeah. No wonder you had to take a knee. You were like, I'm good at home. I have a lot going on. But your boys are older now, right? They're 19 and 20. If they were 9 and 10, then?
So when we came, 9 and 10 at primary school, and now I've got two men, beards, tattoos, size 11 shoes in the hallway. It's just, 10 years has been quite a change in our family, really. So, yeah.
Are they still in the house?
They both are in now, but little one goes back to university next week. So he's just finished his first year. So, that was a bit sad. It was worse than his first day at school. And he is at the university where Craig, my husband and I, where we met. So that's been really strange. It's been like a trip down memory lane, sort of, you know, taking him to Bristol. So, he's back next week. Hopefully I'll be better this time because, you know, he's had a year and
So when you say it was worse than the first day of school, you're talking about for you, not for him.
Oh yeah. Definitely for me.
Aww. Oh goodness.
When we came home, I'd be walking in the street and meet the neighbors or my friends. And like, I couldn't speak because I was crying.
Oh.
It was absolutely ridiculous. So, so I've got a bit more used to it now. So, but he's doing IT like his dad. The eldest one is more creative like me. So he's doing an apprenticeship in carpentry, but he likes art and drawing and he does t-shirts and things like that and sells online, but still does his apprenticeship. So, definitely take after each of us. But then there's other things because Craig's very IT and very logical and I'm quite arty and very emotional. and the boys have sort of got a mixture of those things as well as their own things. So, but yeah, 10 years here is, you know, life has really changed. So, yeah.
Maybe you could collaborate with the one who's doing the woodworking.
Yes, I'm hoping one day that will happen. Yes, we'll see. Because they could be very good skills once he's all ready to go. So, yeah, that'd be nice.
Do you have a glass mentor that you can reach out to or that you look to since you were self-taught?
Yeah, not officially, but I think there's a lovely group of people on Instagram that I think if I did need anything, I could. It, you know, it's not official or anything like that, but even just, I remember one day I posted because I love circles, so that's usually in everything, and I'd cut about a centimeter circle, and then I was trying to wind the lead around it and close it tight because I like being neat, and so when I can't be, I get a bit irritated. So I posted up that I'd done it, but I wanted to throw the circle out of the window. I was so frustrated. And then Flora, she came back to me, and another stained glass artist, I don't know, Simon Howard Glass. And they were, they're both brilliant. They're like really brilliant. Mm-hmm. But yeah, both of them reached out to me and told me how to do it. So you find an object that's not glass, that's circular, and you wind the lead around that and overlap it and pull it off and then cut through it. And if you do that, it's really tight. And it's genius. It just like it works. So I managed to get the lead around a little circle and close it up tight. So yeah, that, I mean, I didn't expect anything by, but it was lovely. So, and Flora is just, I mean, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. But she's so generous. Like, she's so generous. So even before coming on today, she messaged me and I was just like, oh, thank you. I feel totally inadequate, but thanks. So yeah, and things like that. And I think when I was learning to paint, like I managed to buy a kiln, but that came pre-programmed to fuse glass. And I would like to learn how to do that, but painting was the thing I was excited about. And so, you know, I contacted people on Instagram, like, how do you program this thing to be able to paint and it to stick? So that was really helpful. So yeah, it would be nice to have someone official, because I think listening to you talk to Ted, I just thought, oh, that's a nice relationship. And he sounded very knowledgeable. So I just thought, oh, that would be nice. But yeah, but that, you know, there's people there, and if I need to, and it's like the glass painters, there's a lovely group of ladies that, oh, their glass painting is amazing. I mean, I can't do that. I like making marks, but you know, I can't paint like that. And they've been lovely. So if there's anything that I need to know, or, you know, I always say, do you mind if I ask you this? They're always really generous. So yeah, so no official, but yeah, I think Instagram's been brilliant, really. So to be able to just reach out to people, and
it really is. It really is. And I've had this conversation with a few artists too that, you know, have been helpful to other stained glass artists who have reached out to them. And I think, you know, just as long as you say please and thank you, right? Like that's the, yeah.
Definitely, definitely. Because I don't mind if someone asks me, but then you don't want to presume you could just ask somebody else, do you? And, you know, there is a nice way of doing it. I've had a few people ask me things and just thought, please and thank you would be nice. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But no, so that's been helpful. Yeah.
And the Flora that she's talking about, guys, is Flora Jameson from Through the Round Window. She's so lovely. She has been on the podcast, if you want to go back and look for her episode. And also she has a Domestika course you can take, a beginner stained glass course. So look for that if you want to check that out. And there is a discount code on my Patreon page as well. So little plug for everybody.
Very good.
Is making art as fulfilling to you? Like, do you, as being a teacher, do you feel as fulfilled?
It's different, I think. I think if I didn't, if I felt more confident as a stained glass artist, yes. But I'm always racked with insecurity, really, that I need to do better, or this is not good enough, or, you know, it is my weakness, really, to look for the things that are wrong instead of the things that are right. So yeah. From that point of view, I think because I like colour, and like I said about sort of interior design and sewing and things like that, doing glass and all of that coming together, yes, like when I know that I've created something that I really do like, and that like it will fit in a room or something like that, that is a big buzz. And I think like when I led up as well, I really get a lot of enjoyment out of that. It can be difficult and a bit frustrating, but when I'm doing that, and now with the painting, so when I can make marks and things, you do get into that place of, oh, there's peace there, because my head does get, you know, busy. So when I do those things, that's when, you know, there's a bit of quiet. So
yes, it is. It's just different.
Yeah, yeah. It is different. It's funny, really, because it's only been in the, not long since I've been able to say I work with stained glass or I'm a stained glass artist. That was like a really difficult thing to say.
Yeah.
Like a really difficult thing to say. Whereas you're a teacher, everybody knows what they are. And I don't know, you're kind of seen in a different way. I don't know. Like, you know, you're in society and you're helping young people, and now you're making stained glass in the spare room. Do you know what I mean? So it's back, I think, then to my identity and all of those things, really. And I think if I believed in myself a bit more, it'd be easier.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think we all struggle a little bit with that piece, you know? What is the greatest compliment you've ever received about your work?
Oh, I think I should be listening to this and just think I'm some kind of fangirl or something. But I remember when Flora, she followed me on Instagram, and I was just like, what? I said, Flora Jameson's just followed me on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then she put a really nice comment on some of the pieces that I'd made. And then that was enough, really. I just thought, oh my goodness, wow.
So yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the thing about Instagram, because you've got to be careful with it, because it can't be about likes and followers. It is, and that's nice, but that it changes so much. I don't know what happens in there, but you know, you can get lots of likes or not so many likes, and your work is the same. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Same person made it. So I don't, you know, so I kind of got to be careful with, you know, it's not always about likes and follows. They are important, but that can't sort of define you either, if you know what I mean. So,
absolutely. The algorithm and all the other things that go into play, the time of day, and yeah, all it's I just
I really it's so don't get hard. It.
I know. I don't think anybody does. Here's another compliment from somebody who's wonderful, is that I was already following you, but Ted Ellison is the one who sent me your Instagram. And he said, you have to have this person on the podcast. Their work is absolutely incredible. So he sent that to me, and he's the one who suggested that you come onto the podcast.
Oh my goodness me. Oh, that's made my day.
Good.
When I was listening to you two chatting the other day, I just thought, oh, he's so lovely and very generous and very kind. So, because I think when someone's like that, I suppose you don't expect, do you know what I mean? To, oh, that's nice.
He is. He's extremely lovely. He's wonderful. We love you, Ted. Tell me about, give me like what your daily schedule looks like. Like, what's your favorite time of day to create?
I have a little routine. So I do things in the morning, and then because hubby's home too, we have lunch together every day, and we live right by a park. So we do a little walk around the park, and then I do a few more hours in the afternoon. So I sort of split my day up like that. And then when the boys are home, we'll get together in the evening. But like now they're older, they're sort of, you know, here, there and everywhere. But yeah, I try and make it so that I've got a working day. So I'll start in the morning, have lunch break, and do a few hours in the afternoon. And then I sort of set myself little goals that I do. So really, I love making panels. That's, you know, but selling those is, you know, it's not an impulse purchase by people. So I make lots of little things too. So like last week, I've got things in a shop called Design 44. So they're local to Derby, and it's a lovely thing. Jade, who owns those, so they're shops that are full of independent designers and creators. So we rent a space in the shop and then sell things from there. So yeah, so I make lots of little things, and then once a design comes for a panel, I'll spend my time doing that. So last week I filled up the shops that I was in with all the little things that I needed. So that meant that this week I can start another panel and get on with that. So yeah, I try and do it on most days. So yeah, I've had a little bit of time sort of once the shops have been, they've got their stock, that like we've got an old Victorian house, so that needs some upkeep. So the other week it was filling the wood in the wooden conservatory and painting that and making sure that, you know, the jobs get done for winter. So I, yeah, most of the week I do the glass, and then once I've got things ready to go, I can go and do the other things that I like doing. So mm-hmm. I mean, I love sewing, but I've just not had time to, you know, do anything like that really. So but yeah, so no day is, the other thing that I did over lockdown was I did the couch to 5K.
You did? That's huge.
I know, I did it. So yeah, but I like, you know, my joints are not quite the same as they were. But yeah, so I try once a week, and I wanted to do twice a week, but I've got to just take it easy really. So but yeah, so we've got a park right next to us. So that's been really helpful, because I think once I've got round the park, I feel good. And so my head quietens down, and, you know, you've all your hormones, the good ones are mm-hmm. there. So yeah, I found that really good. So I can, you know, one morning I can do that and then go and get on with the glass afterwards. So yeah, no, I found that really helpful actually.
But what do you do when you just are kind of having days where you putz around and you're not getting anything done? Do you leave the studio, or do you have multiple projects going on at the same time?
Yeah, I can just get out of there, and I do like to read. So if I've got a good book, I can get lost in that, and that helps as well. So yeah, I do like reading. That's a nice thing to do too. So,
what do you like to read?
Oh, everything. I'll have a go at anything. So yeah, I've just read a couple of really good books. But I like whodunit. They're the best. I never guess, but yeah.
What are some of your favorite authors?
Oh, I've just read two really good books. So the first one, you love the title of this one, How to Kill Your Family.
I wrote that book.
Yeah, I think she's called Bella Mackey, and she was a journalist, and that was her first novel. So yeah, no, that was very funny. I did quite like reading that one. And then there was I think she's called Bernadine Evaristo, I think. So yeah, I think it's, I don't know if I've got it the right way around, Woman, Girl, Other, and it's sort of different women sort of tell their story throughout the book, and they're all sort of interlinked. So that was a lovely book. So yeah, but
I love books like that. Yes. my next question that I wrote down for you was, how do you balance your time in the studio with other commitments with family? But I think you kind of answered that a little bit. It sounds like you have like a really good flow and you're able to sort of like fill up where you're selling and then head into house projects and then circle back. You said you were selling some stuff at a place called Design Led, right? That's the place you were telling me about, or
called Design 44.
Okay. I was just going to say, where else do you sell besides the Design 44 place?
So she's got a shop that's in Derby, and then she's got another store that is in another town called Stoke. So I've got things in there as well. And then we've got, it's called the Museum of Making in Derby. So I've got some of my things in there, but it's a bit of a tricky one because that's on a commission based. So I don't pay rent for a space. They sort of put commission on top of. So, yeah, and it's all been quite new to me, really. Because I haven't been in that world of how it all works, you know, sort of wholesale prices, retail prices, how much is on top. So that's been a learning curve as well, really, to, you know, do those. And the other thing I've done is like arts trails, so I need to do more of those, but because there's lots of people, it's hard for me. So after 2 days of lots of people, I sort of need to lie down in a darkened room or a stitch. So, you know, that's so we've got a town in Derbyshire called Belper, and they do an arts trail every year. So I've done that for a few years. And so that's been really good, you know, really positive. So I think the last one was in May. And so I sold a few panels and I got a commission through that. So, yeah, so I through those, I sort of tick along. But yeah, that's another thing on the to-do list is to do more arts trails, really, because there's quite a few good ones in Derbyshire. It's like when you chat with Jane, she, you know, she does the circuit of those as well. So yeah, I need to
sign up for more. Yeah. Was it hard getting started with those? Because I know you have to do a lot of like signage and hang tags and branding. Like it's not easy.
The Belper one was fine. Like the girls that run that, they were great, you know, just needed a little statement, couple of photos, and it was quite laid back. But there are some that are, you know, a bit intimidating. Just like, oh no. And one of them, they wanted photos with so many pixels of something. And I was just like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I through the shops, the museum, and then on Instagram, you know, I am ticking by, which is, you know, which is good. So, and it's like sort of, you know, that sort of, you're a business and the tax man. So I've done all of that business now as well. You know, I've done a couple of years of, so it was all a bit, oh, no, I just like making things.
Yeah, you have to be so much more. It's so true. What advice do you have for stained glass artists that are just starting out now that you're 10 years into the game?
I know. Can you believe that? That's mad. It's absolutely mad. I don't know where that's gone. I think practice, really. And, you know, things take time to be able to get where you want to be. So I think don't start off too ambitious. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think with leading as well, it's just like you start leading and everything moves. And you just think, hold on. You know, my drawing, I cut that piece of glass to that size and now it's all sort of shifted that way. So it gets frustrating, but I think it is, yeah, just keep practicing and stuff comes. So I've been trying to, because I used to work with big pieces. And as my skills have got better, I can make my panel smaller, but get more detail in there. So that's the thing that I've liked, is I can achieve patterns and shapes that I want and do it smaller. So yeah. And it is funny, we sort of look at older panels that you've done. It's just like, oh, goodness me, there has been progress. Yeah, there has been progress. So yeah. And I think I like keeping everything traditional. I mean, probably would be easier if I just printed something out and things, because when you hand draw, that's another thing. It just, you know, yeah, not as always precise, but yeah, I think starting off, just go for it and just keep practicing. I have known a few people that have got frustrated and then not been able to do something and stopped. And I just think, oh, that's a shame. Don't stop, you know, just, you know, carry on and keep practicing.
So, yeah. Yeah. Do you ever do copper foil?
Yes, I do on little pieces. I've not done a big panel, but I used to find it frustrating because to make it look good, you've got to be able to solder, haven't you? Get that nice sort of bead of solder. So yeah, yeah. I taught myself how to do it just because I thought, oh, I've got offcuts and people are probably more inclined to buy something smaller than, you know, paying out for a panel. So yeah, I started sort of making little stars and things like that. So yeah, yeah. But I've not done it on a bigger panel. So
it's time for our final three questions. Who is your favorite artist?
It's a funny one, this one, because when I was a teacher, we used to do a lot of art things, and like all my little groups would be named after famous artists. So even at five, you know, I remember I had about six groups of children, and so they were all named after a different artist. And we had a supply teacher in one day, and then when I came in the next day, my classroom assistant, she said, oh, it was so funny, she said all the children sat down and the supply teacher said, could the Mondrian group go to their table? And a little group of five-year-olds went, we're not Mondrian, we're Modigliani. Bless them. So yeah, I think doing art with the children, I've sort of loved, well, I like Modigliani because I've got some of his prints in the house, but faces, no. But sort of simple shapes, so things like Matisse and Kandinsky. So one of the first pictures that our boys had was the snail by Kandinsky. So it's big square shapes, all, yeah, so things like that. And Matisse now has been inspiring just for like leaf shapes and things like that. So yeah, I think simple.
And who is your favorite stained glass artist?
Oh, right. I was thinking about this and it's really tricky. I don't think you can say one, can you? My main interests are leaders and painters. So there's a lovely group of women who are painters. And just to name one, I mean, it's nice that you've got Jane on because she's on the list as well, but there's Nettie and she's at Enchanted Light UK, and Hillary, she's Hillary Holmes Glass, she's really been supportive and lovely. Harriet Love, she's been really supportive as well. So yeah, it is really difficult. And Leaders as well, I can't remember, he's Leaded Light or something, it's Jan, I don't know whether you follow him, but he's like a machine, you should see him lead, it's just like, and then I think people who are really precise, because you just think, oh, I would love to be like that. And is it Matthew from, knowing their Instagram names, is it United Visions or something like that?
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's in America and he's so precise. Like, it's just like, oh, goodness me, look how that is. So yeah, I look at that and think, oh, wow. Be nice to be like that. So yeah, I don't know whether I've got those right. Maybe I'll tell them you later if I am.
Yeah, I'll find all of them. I was trying to jot down quickly, but I only wrote down like the first one. So we'll go back and go through them together, listen to this, write them down, and then I'll have links to all of them in the show notes for people that want to
miss that somebody. And it's just like, oh no.
I know. It's so hard. You can't, I mean, it's just, there's just like not enough airspace in the world to shout out all the stained glass artists that deserve it, because this community is wildly talented, wildly supportive, just across the board, just everybody just deserves such a pat on the back and a shout out.
Yeah, definitely.
final question, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, but what are your 5 to 10 year goals?
That's really funny. Do you know, I don't think I have any. Does that sound awful?
No, I think that that's actually like healthy.
I think as long as I can still earn a bit of money from making things, that I can still make pretty things, and that I get better and, you know, my skills improve, I think that's all really. Oh, and to maybe move by the sea.
That's a big one.
Yeah, no. One day.
But I think, yes, I think it's good for you to set yourself up for success in that way and be like, I just want to keep, you know, moving up, whatever that looks like, whatever that means. I think that that's so healthy. It's good to have specific goals too, but also just to be like, I'm just really open to whatever comes as long as I'm working hard.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing as well. It's like when we talked about identity before, like I put so much of my identity into being a teacher that when it was gone, I didn't know who I was for ages. And I just think I want to be creative. You know, that's mainly in stained glass, but I don't want it to become everything that I am, because if it ever changed, I don't want to have that massive transition again, if that makes sense. So
yes.
I think I hold things loosely now. I want to be the best I can at something by working hard and, you know, being creative, but yeah, just hold loosely, I think. Sorry, that's not very ambitious, is it?
No, I swear to you, I just got so much out of that sentence for me personally, of just like letting it be loose because of the self-identity stuff with like not being a hairdresser anymore, really. Or I mean, still knowing how to do it, but just like not practicing currently and not having to tell everybody my life story when they ask me what I do for a living. And not having to say, I'm a podcaster, and then have a question mark at the end of it. Like, just being like, I have a podcast, and that's okay too, you know?
Yeah. And it is, isn't it? It's like, I think if you could think about yourself the way you think about other people, you know, that they're talented and accomplished and doing really well and confident. And, you know, then you find out inside that they're just feeling awful sometimes too.
Yeah.
Just like, I know.
We're all on this journey. I know. And we have good days and bad days, you know, like, yeah. Your work brings me so much joy. Chatting with you today brought me so much joy. I really got a lot out of this today, and have a wonderful and productive day in the studio today. And I'll talk to you soon. To see more of Nick's work, her Instagram is hepzibar.button. That's HEPZIBAR.BUTTON. And mine is at Runa Glassworks. For our Cracked Patreon page members, Nick is giving away one of her painted bird sun catchers in a surprise color. It's going to look so gorgeous hanging in someone's window, and I'll be doing a drawing for that piece on my Instagram on January 8th, 2023. After I do these drawings, I always reach out to the winner personally as well to let them know. So don't worry if you miss it, but if you remember to, I would turn on your notifications for my Instagram stories. Next week's episode of Cracked is with Sarah Strickler. She's going to be repping hard for all you hobbyists out there, and I can't wait to share my conversation with her. Till next time, bye!